Praise God. If you turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and praise God. While you turn there, I want to tell you, let's share a story with you. I read about this 60-year-old body of Timothy Henry Gray. Timothy Henry Gray, his body was found under a Wyoming overpass 2 days after Christmas in the year 2012. There was no sign of foul play, no indication of a crime or even mischief at any cost. The Evanston police in Wyoming and local news indicated that he was just homeless and died of hypothermia. Actually, many commented in the article and to the news. They said that Gray was a victim of bad breaks and bad luck. And that might be true, except for one small detail. Timothy Henry Gray, he stood to inherit millions of dollars. Gray's great-grandfather was a wealthy copper miner. He was a railroad builder and the founder of a small Nevada town that you might have perhaps heard of called Las Vegas. He was also a U.S. senator. His name was William Andrews Clark. And his fortune was passed down to his daughter, Huguette Clark. And what's interesting in all this, Huguette Clark, as she went on to live, she lived to be 104 years old. She eventually died in the year 2011. Huguette died without any close or immediate relatives to hand this $300 million fortune to. And I read this article and I was thinking, how does the heir to a fortune die like a pauper or someone that's homeless? I wonder what took place in his life. I wonder the decisions, why he came to this homelessness, this situation, this circumstance in his life. And I mean, you think about this, surely Timothy Gray knew his family history. Surely he knew about his famous father. He carried a large fortune. He helped start Las Vegas. I mean, he built railroads. He was a famous copper miner. And even though here is a man well known, a man in fortune, passes it down to his daughter, and through his daughter, listen, the only close relative was Timothy Gray, and he actually died homeless. I read this article and it bothered me. I'm sorry, but it bothered me. Some things I read in the news, it just stirs my blood. I wonder if it ever occurred to him to investigate, to look into his inheritance. Because I can promise you, if I had someone that had a potential to inherit me millions of dollars, believe me, I will know about it. I mean, I will know about it. It's the facts of life. You know, I would actually, thinking about it, I would perhaps even have went through drastic measures to make communication. If I knew about this, I would go visit Huguette if she was related to me. Now, I don't know what happened, but I do know this. I would have tried everything possible to link myself back to what was truly my inheritance. I don't know. I'd probably camp out at her door and knock on it every day. I'd email. I would get phone numbers. I would do everything I could call all the businesses that they were tied to. And it just seems to me that this is what Timothy, this is what he should have done. He should have took rightful part in this fortune that was rightfully his. I would have turned over every stone. I would have made it my aim, my focus, to make sure that my kids can continue inheriting such a fortune. I mean, think about it. He died homeless. There was no need for that. No one wants to die under a bridge, homeless and alone. No one. There is absolutely no need for the way this man met death. There was absolutely no need for him to have died this way. He was the rightful heir to a multi-million dollar, $300 million to be exact, inheritance. And this story actually drew me to a thought. Do we make it our aim? Do we make it our focus to claim our inheritance in Christ? I want to preach tonight on heirs of God, Romans 8. We're going to read 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Father, we pray that you'd minister, help us, God, anoint this gospel message. Lay hold of our hearts and fill these altars tonight. We're grateful to be a part of your work, your purpose. Thank you for our destiny. Move us tonight, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you first about a godly inheritance. Salvation is a spiritual adoption. You need to understand this about your salvation, your relationship with Christ. Verses 15 and 16, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen, church, for those who place their faith in Christ, listen, they have been adopted spiritually. Amen? We have become children of God. This is what the church is. We are the family of God. And the scriptures tell us, the word of God identifies that we cry, Abba, Father. This is what it says in our text. So this word Abba, it's an Aramaic word, and it means father specifically. It signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father and his child. This is the relationship that we gain with Christ, that we come into. We're adopted, amen, into the things of God, and we have a closeness, such a closeness with God. It's as a father has with his children. So church, adoption, what it does is it entitles us to an inheritance. In verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There is more to salvation than forgiveness. Let me say that one more time. There is more to salvation than forgiveness. You need to be forgiven of your sins. Yes, that is the ultimate. Okay, you need God's grace. You need His mercy. Listen, you need forgiveness of your sins, and you get that in Christ, but there's much more that you can come into in a relationship with God. We actually go beyond forgiveness, and God gives us an inheritance. Listen to Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, there's your forgiveness, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Church, there is so much more to gain in Christ than forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. I'm not downplaying that. All I'm saying is there are so many people who cry out to God for forgiveness, and that's as far as they go. That's as far as they ever visit. That's as far as they ever claim in the promises of God is forgiveness. But there is so much more to gain. There is so much more to come into. So many more promises, amen, that God has for you. So much that God makes available to us. Things that we have a legal right to obtain because we are now heirs in Christ. Hebrews 9:15, those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We have an inheritance. We have something beyond forgiveness. We have, amen, rightful claim to true riches, things that Christ has made available to you and me. But here's the problem, church. Here is the problem. Are we taking what has been promised to us? Have we made, amen, the necessary steps? Have we by faith went to claim? Have we ventured? Have we laid hold of the things that Christ has made available to you and me? There are those that have been adopted, yet they never lay hold of their inheritance in Christ. Just like our illustration, Timothy Henry Gray died never receiving what was rightfully his. He died homeless. He died alone. And he died cold. But he didn't have to. So many, they pray for forgiveness and never go on to lay hold of what God has for them. So many churches are filled with people that think all salvation is a promise just to make heaven. And thank God for that promise. But again, church, Christ made so much more available to you through his death and resurrection. They seek forgiveness, but not the promised treasures that await them. You know what's interesting? Jesus, he taught two short parables that emphasize the value of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Two short parables. Yet they have profound impact, and they identify the kingdom of God to you and me in such a profound way. You have to know about these parables. Let me read them to you. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. Now think about this. Jesus expresses the kingdom of God as treasures and pearls. Things of great, great value. But not just any treasure, not just any pearl. The treasure you find in Christ is so valuable, you will give any and everything to obtain it. You will sell it all away. You will give all of it away just to obtain this treasure that you find in Christ. Don't miss the point here. There is a powerful point that this parable is trying to get across. These men went after and claimed the treasure that's found in the kingdom of God. That's the point. That's the point. They sold all they had, did everything they could to obtain their now inherited treasure. They went after it. They went after what was rightfully inherited to them. Now, the same is with us. Are we chasing after? Are we claiming? Are we giving all we have to obtain the inheritance that we have in Christ. I want to talk to you, secondly, about wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17. It tells us that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what this scripture is telling you and me, Paul, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he says they need to understand and see. They need to understand and see. They need a revelation of their inheritance in Christ. They need to learn to see that. Apparently, because some don't. And I think if this is urgent enough for Paul and the Holy Spirit to place it in the text, he's heeding, he's warning, he's imploring them, he's trying to tell them, church, you need to understand. Open your eyes. You have something to obtain in Christ, an inheritance. I think if they needed to do this, so do we. You see, God has to give you wisdom. He has to give you revelation about your inheritance. This is a spiritual principle, a promise, revelation. Listen, you need God to reveal to you what has been made available to you through Christ. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever in prayer ask God to reveal His promises to you? Because knowing His promises, knowing your inheritance, it will help you do God's will and fulfill your personal calling in Christ. Let me tell you something, church. Wisdom comes through humility and the Word of God. I said wisdom comes through humility and the Word of God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Listen, fearing God is to reverence Him or to show honor. It's respect. Think about this. When we learn to reverence God, what that means is we're humbling ourselves and we see God as King, as Lord, as authority. And what we do is we prepare our hearts to receive of His instructions. We prepare our hearts for His knowledge. We don't try to give Him a little of ours. No, we want His knowledge. Because how do you teach someone that doesn't want to be taught? Think about this. Have you ever told your kids, hey, you know, I want you to do this. And all of a sudden they're like, you know, well, why do I have to do that? You know, I didn't do that. Why are you making me clean it up? Why are you making me do this? You should probably get whoever did it to clean it. Well, your parent didn't ask you who did it. Your parent asked you to do it. It don't matter who did it. She doesn't or he doesn't need that wisdom. And they certainly don't need the child that's so much more inexperienced in life and supposed to be respectful to their parents. Listen, your parents certainly don't need your wisdom. What your parents need is your obedience. That's it. Your obedience. To respect God as teacher. Teacher. Listen. If you, listen, have the fear of the Lord, you respect God as a teacher, as knowing all, and the Word of God is to you the absolute truth. It would trump any advice that you could bring to the table. You allow His Word to direct, guide, facilitate your life. So you see Him as the ultimate authority. Listen, reading the Bible and hearing sermons, somewhere in your salvation, a spiritual light bulb needs to go off, or come on, rather. Or your eyes, your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart, they finally need to see that you can hear from God through a sermon. That you can hear from God through prayer or reading your Bible. And think about this. Somewhere God needs to start opening your eyes. Somewhere God needs to start allowing you to see. But God won't allow you to see things if you're not willing to see them. You see, God, He'll come to a place to where He wants to open your eyes. Psalms 119:18. Listen to the psalmist's heart. This is his heart. He's in prayers, crying out to God. He says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Open my eyes. This is the cry of his heart. His heart. He's asking God to open his personal eyes, his spiritual eyes. He's not talking about his physical eyes. He's talking about gaining a spiritual understanding of God, knowledge of God. Sometimes we can't see what God sees. We need God to open our spiritual eyes. Listen to this story, 2 Kings 6:16. "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Now, church, Elisha is praying that a certain man may see. This man woke up, looked out of his window, and the enemy was surrounding the city with horses and chariots. He was afraid, and he asked Elisha what they should do. And Elisha, he's not scared, he's not moved. Listen, with confidence, listen, he could see spiritually what God was seeing. And what that was is behind the enemy was a multitude of other warriors, soldiers, and horses with chariots of fire. In other words, listen, he saw beyond the circumstance that God was already involved. He could see that spiritually. Sometimes we fear a situation because we can't see God in the picture. Come on, somebody. We need to trust God and pray, and we need to seek wisdom. We need understanding. Listen, God is in the background. He's working things out. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Now, faith is knowing God has answers. We kind of covered this morning. The enemy tries to deceive you, saying God can't help you. But church, we know he can. God will reveal truth to you. He will open your spiritual eyes. He will give you revelation. He will direct your path, reveal inheritance that you can actually obtain. Things like strength, power, breakthrough, victory. I want to close and talk to you about claiming your inheritance. Romans 8:12 says this, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." What identifies us as children is the fact that we are being led by the Spirit. That's what Scripture tells us. It's a choice to where we decide no longer to allow our carnal appetites to lead our lives. We used to be drawn away by them, church. We know that. Listen, we used to be drawn away by our own lust, our sinful desires, our carnal appetites. We sin because we go after what we lust for in our flesh. And it's when we are led by the Spirit of God, we overcome our flesh. And listen, we gain victory. This is what identifies us as children of God. It's the mark upon a child of God. And that mark is they are led not by their flesh. They're led by the Spirit. This is the identifiable mark upon a child of God. This is the difference between a child of the enemy than the child of God. Listen, our inheritance entitles us to overcome our flesh. Listen to me, church. This is profound. You need to understand this. Your inheritance in Christ gives you power, gives you victory, gives you dominion over your flesh. More than inheriting heaven and eternal life, we also inherit the power of God. 2 Peter 1:3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, if you need power over the enemy, you have that. You have that. You can get that through the inheritance you gained in Christ. If you need peace, joy, and victory, you can have it. If you need to overcome addiction, sinful habits, you can have it. Don't die alone. Don't avoid your inheritance. We must engage ourselves and pursue what we have inherited in Christ. You know, I close with this thought. In September of 2013, in a New York courtroom, two years after Huguette's death, right? This woman, the daughter of this fortune, that she dies, and 2 years later, with no immediate relatives to claim for her own. Remember, the only one died under a bridge, alone. What had happened 2 years later in a New York courtroom, distant relatives started to lay claim to this $300 million inheritance. And they actually finally settled in court. You can look it up. And besides the court costs and the lawyer fees, which were also in the millions, the whole estate, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Listen, the whole estate went to these distant relatives. Do you know why it went to these distant relatives? I tell you why. Because they were the only ones that showed up knocking on the door saying, hey, I have part in this. They're the only ones that came and said, hey, I have right to this inheritance. I have rights. I'm claiming this. And the point of tonight, amen, is we have a responsibility as children of God to do the same spiritually. Somewhere in your salvation, you need to understand, your eyes need to be open, as Paul said to the church in Ephesus. You need to go and lay hold of your inheritance in Christ. You will only obtain what you, amen, go after. What you set out to catch, what you set out to accomplish, this is what you obtain. My pastor told me a long time ago. He said, if you want to catch fish, he was a big fisherman. And he gave me an analogy of life. And it relates to a lot. But he said to me, he said, listen, if you want to catch fish, you have to go fish. How are you going to catch any fish if you're not fishing? If you don't put a hook or a line in the water, you have to do the work. And so I bring this to your attention tonight as we close. Church, are you claiming the promises of God for your life? Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.